You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A study published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics estimates more than 40,000 children in the U.S. lost a parent in year one of the pandemic. Rachel Kidman is a social epidemiologist at Stony Brook University studying bereavement in children and young adults. She spoke with WPR's Lee Rayburn about how losing a parent may affect children long term.
Rachel, beyond the emotional pain, the visceral reaction, losing a parent has tangible effects. What happens when kids are left without a guardian?
You know, they're more likely to suffer from depression. They're more likely to drop out of school or otherwise have poor educational outcomes. They exhibit greater suicidality, and that rises and stays high for 25 years after a parent's death. You know, we know that it also leads to other kinds of vulnerabilities. Children who lost both parents in one study that we did were 50% more likely to then experience sexual abuse. So it's easy to see how you can draw a line from these experiences to really having challenges across the life course, you know, from dropping out of high school to poor lifetime earnings. But these experiences also raise the likelihood of really serious health problems across adulthood as well. So it's a really powerful adverse experience to lose a parent.
And when you apply that to the pandemic that we're facing today, what do you see in terms of disparities? What is we heard we're all in this together, but when we look at the data, is that what it says?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we're all facing this immense challenge, but what has become apparent throughout the pandemic is that the burden of mortality is absolutely not shared equally. There are really strong racial and economic disparities. And I think, you know, it's not surprising then that we found and other researchers have found that orphanhood is also disproportionately experienced by children of color. In our study last year, we found that Black children accounted for about 20% of those who lost a parent to COVID, but they only account for about 14% of kids in America. So I think it's really concerning. And I think it's also concerning when we start to look at what supports might be available and how those are distributed. You know, we know, for example, children in Black families are a lot less likely to receive survivor benefits within the Social Security program, and those whose parents were born outside the U.S. are even less likely. So we need to start thinking about not only who's affected, but how we're going to restructure programs to ensure that all kids have equal access to the help that they really need.
So, Rachel, what are some of the consequences that you see then in the long term of this loss?
Well, I think we need to be concerned about their mental health. We need to be concerned about their education. I think there are real concerns going forward. What happens in the immediate aftermath of a parent's death is really only the beginning.
So it's not the immediate, the need is there for the immediate bereavement, the immediate grief, but also beyond that as well.
Absolutely. You know, in the immediate aftermath, you know, there may be a need for, you know, some interventions to help children with their grief. And there are some brief evidence-based interventions that could be scaled up to really help kids with that grief. We can work with school counselors to reach a lot of these children, perhaps. But you know, it goes beyond what they need just in the days and weeks after a parent's loss. They really need support going forward. And the best people placed to offer that support are going to be their family members. I mean, I think that's a major lesson that came through when we studied the responses in the HIV/AIDS pandemic. And that is, you know, supporting bereaved children means strengthening their family's ability to care for them. So that means strengthening the family's economic capacity to care for them and also delivering complementary interventions that improve the quality of caregiving.
Rachel Kidman is a social epidemiologist, and we're talking about how children are affected by losing parents and other caregivers to COVID-19 here on the Ideas Network. So considering the needs of these children, short and long term, and going back to the disparities that we've seen in this pandemic, how should this inequity inform what we do to support kids in this moment?
Well, I think we need to think about this more holistically. You know, a lot of what these children need are relevant to all children who are really struggling. It's a safety net for all kids. So I talked about economic support, so interventions in the US that are offering things like expanded child tax credit will raise families out of dire poverty. And that includes families who have lost a parent. I think also, when we talk about making sure there's a stable, supportive caregiver for these kids, that's so key to their resiliency. We should also be talking about having positive parenting programs available. We should be talking about having bereavement leave available so that the surviving parent can take time off and really help that child in their moment of need. We should talk about family leave. And so these are very much universal supports that would benefit all kids, not just kids who are orphaned, but they would also disproportionately, hopefully, benefit kids who are really vulnerable.
Rachel, do you think it's the same for kids and adults, or are these universal supports you speak of more effective for certain ages?
I think the social supports I'm referring to are really centered around kids. They are designed for the family because the family is best able to help an individual child. I think we have to really work through extended families and make sure that they are strong because they are able to understand their children's needs the best. And so when we talk about economic supports to families, that will benefit obviously everybody in the family, but it's so key to a child's nutrition, so key to their schooling that it really has to be prioritized for children's welfare. And I think when we talk about counseling, certainly that's something that a lot of Americans need right now, not just children. But I think that it's paramount that kids who are grappling with grief and with other anxiety related to the pandemic have access to adequate psychological services.
And as I think of it, Rachel, it's not just the children who have lost guardians. It's the friends of those children that have lost guardians that are having to deal with this as well. And so it's, to some degree, all of the children and the universal supports that you mentioned. Are we paying enough attention to kids coping with all this?
I don't think so. I do think that folks have thought about how children are affected by the pandemic. It's really hard to escape. Everybody has children in their families, in their neighborhoods. And I think that folks are starting to realize how much this has posed a challenge to their mental health. I think people have been concerned about their education, but I don't think people realized how much children were grieving for parents. There have been anecdotal stories in the news, certainly, but I think the scale of the crisis has really been lost. I think there tends to be a focus on mortality among the elderly, and folks don't realize how many people in their 30s and 40s and 50s are dying of COVID. And those are people in their parenting years. And so bringing those numbers to the fore, I think, is important. Our numbers went through February of last year. We have had far more deaths in 2021 than we did in 2020. More deaths since the vaccine became available, unfortunately. And these deaths are skewing younger, which means more parents are dying. There have been some updates. Another research group led by Susan Hillis at the CDC released a paper this summer with their own estimates, and they have been updating those estimates in real time. And they now estimate that 3.4 million children worldwide have lost at least one parent due to COVID. So I think, those anecdotal stories are really important to personalize this issue. But I want people to realize that behind those are 3.4 million children with similar experiences.
What if we don't apply the universal supports that are needed for these children? As a social epidemiologist, if we do nothing, what is our outcome?
If we do nothing, we are talking about having children who are more likely to drop out of school, be depressed, commit suicide, be sexually abused. If we don't change something, then those children are facing a real uphill battle. And we have a choice to make right now about investing in mental health care for children, investing in strengthening families' economic position, investing in parenting. And I think if we don't, it won't be one obvious hit, but it'll be a lot of children who are going to struggle across their life course more than they need to.
Rachel Kidman, thank you for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Stony Brook University social epidemiologist Rachel Kidman talking with WPR's Lee Rayburn. You can read more about Kidman's research. Find a link at wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, we meet another candidate seeking to become Milwaukee's next leader. What challenges do you want Milwaukee's new mayor to tackle head on? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network.